Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Pets are a big part of the family, so when one dies, the grief can be overwhelming. But is the loss of a pet taken seriously enough, and just how difficult is it to deal with? Well, I'm joined on the line now by Today FM presenter Alison Curtis. Good afternoon, Alison.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Alison, I'm reading here that you survived trauma in your life, but this,
yes,
the death of your dog, Betty, was all-consuming. You were heartbroken. Tell us what happened and about the family dog.
Well, Betty was my first ever dog. I was only allowed hamsters and goldfish growing up, to be honest, Anna. So she was my first ever dog, and we rescued her. It'll be 3 years ago, well, 4 years ago, and I just fell in love with her instantly. And we were told 9 months, but she was really closer to maybe 13 or 14 months and had suffered really bad trauma. So a lot of people will see these stories if they follow rescues across the country, up and down, and particularly farm dogs and border collies in particular, turn up at rescue centers in pretty, you know, poor shape sometimes. And she was just traumatized from her previous experience. So it took her a long time. It took her almost 2 years to get fully settled. And she clicked with me. I always call it my click day with her on day six. And she just became my little shadow. And my kind of weekday life, as I work weekends, revolved around, you know, my human child, but also her. And, you know, I fell in love with her so much. And I know a lot of people talk about it in a corny way, but, you know, some people have several dogs throughout their lives, but they might have a soul dog is what they call it. And she just was a part of me. And then it'll be actually a year exactly on Friday. She passed away and she was only 3 years old, and she got sick, and the last 3 weeks of her life were absolute hell for her and for us. Because we did think she was going to pull through, and she didn't. And it was after, you know, multiple vet visits and then a long stay in UCD, a veterinary hospital, and she just didn't pull through. She had just so many complications, and it was just heartbreaking. And I couldn't believe how badly it hit me. Like on the actual day, I hyperventilated. I'd never done that before.
Alison.
Oh, it was awful. And then you do feel, Anna, a little bit, as you were saying in your intro there, you feel a bit silly because you're like, people will probably go, it's only a dog. And, you know, yeah, it is only a dog for some people. But people who fall in love with an animal will know how devastating it can be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're talking to someone who had a family dog, and we were all devastated when Kessie was her name, a King Charles Cavalier, passed away. And yeah, the effect is actually, it kind of hits you in waves, I think. It's
yes,
really strange. And you kind of think it was just a dog, even when it's your own dog. And then I think the effect of, you know, the dog being gone is, it can shock you, the level of grief that follows. Would that be fair?
Oh, absolutely. Like the first thing I did, we had to come home and tell our daughter. And then I was like, get rid of everything now. And what I meant by that is I went a little bit insane, if I'm honest. I just went around the house, gathered everything that was hers, shoved it in a bag and put it in the attic, and just sat down and stared at a wall. And I really was in a very bad way for about 4 or 5 months. And I just, my husband's like, she's, you know, he could see I wasn't quite myself. And I started to look at dogs online again. And I spotted a litter that had come into a rescue in Tipperary. And I just said, can we go down and see what they're like, basically. And he just knew by me that I wasn't recovering and I wasn't replacing Betty, but I needed something in my life that was familiar to the lifestyle I'd had with Betty.
Of course. So Betty was a border collie. And how long was she with you in total, Alison?
Exactly 2 years, almost to the day. Yeah,
okay.
It was a very short time. But I mean, and it was ridiculous. I was like, oh, I'll get a dog walking wardrobe, like your jackets that will be okay to get muddy. Like I was literally like, so everything I did was around her becoming part of our lives. And she fit into our lives very well because I was able to do what I wanted across the week with my working hours and things like that. And then my family, my, you know, daughter, my husband had her on the weekends when I was working. So it worked well. And she was mine. She wasn't a family dog. And there's, you know, pluses and minuses to that. Whereas I'm thankful the dog that we adopted in October is a family dog. Like, yes. She seems equally happy to see all three of us.
Yeah, I think because Betty was a rescue as well and traumatized when you got her and, you know, you were her fix. And I think there's a lot in it, isn't there, in terms of the rebuild of, you know, their life, what you did for her.
Absolutely. And it was really sad because it was in April last year that we're like, oh my God, like she's really turned a corner. And a lot of, border collies in particular, again, find urban settings, challenging. You have to keep them very occupied mentally as well as physically. And I felt like, oh, wow, this is, you know, she's in a happy space. And then she was sick a week later. And then her last 3 weeks were absolutely horrific. So it was a lot. And it was right before my daughter's first year exams. And it was a lot for everybody in the family to kind of get our heads around.
And you know what, Alison, you're so right to be honest about it. And the screen is jumping here. And the general tone is thank you for making this relevant. Because, as you say, you can feel a little bit silly. So stay with me, Alison. Clodagh Campbell, the wellness psychologist, is on the line as well. Good afternoon to you, Clodagh.
Hi, Anna. How are you? Hi,
I'm Alison. Great. Were you listening to Alison's story there, Clodagh?
I was, and my heart is breaking for her because we just lost our gorgeous dog last week, last Tuesday, a dog that we had had for 10 and a half years. Mm-hmm. So a dog that was with us, you know, he came to our wedding in a little dicky bow. He was there when I brought my three beautiful daughters into our home and he was just by our sides every single day. So I know, Alison, what it's like. Our house is very sad at the moment.
And like it really is. It's a part of the family. They are a part of the family and a part of the family is gone. You know, it is hard, Clodagh, isn't it?
It's so hard. And I lost my beautiful dad in 2013, I think. So obviously that's the most heartbreaking loss I've ever experienced. But losing Milo last week, it's been incredibly hard and it hit me far harder than I could have appreciated before going through it. You know, like I lost a dog when I was 3 years old and I haven't lost one since then. So for a long, long time, and it just absolutely crippled me. Like the thought of him just being gone and not being there now every time we arrive home, it's really hard. So going through losing a parent, heartbreaking, but also losing a pet is incredibly painful.
It's not to be underestimated. What kind of a reaction did you get? And like Alison said, you've kind of feel a bit silly that your grief is so extreme because you feel people are going, oh, it's a pet after all. You know, it's not a human.
You know, it's funny because when I lost my dad, I went to a grief support group. It was like a therapy group. It was 8 weeks and I was in the depths of losing him. And a member of the group was there because they had lost their dog. And I was very angry at the time. I was angry my dad had died. You know, when you're in the midst of that grief, and I was really angry at the person in the therapy group that had lost the dog. I was thinking, you know, I'm here for my dad. How could you compare this, you know, your dog to that loss? But I get it now. Yeah. I get it now. And I remember talking about that at the time and people said to me, when you lose Milo and or Oscar or the little dog, you will get it. And I do. And of course, it's different. And I don't want to minimize the loss of a person because that is, you know, the hardest part of life. But losing a pet is really hard too.
Completely. And it's a case by case. It depends on the family circumstances as well, doesn't it? Let me just get to some of these texts because the screen is hopping here. So happy you're making this topic relevant. I lost my beautiful cat on the 6th of January. He was almost 15. My 25-year-old nephew passed suddenly in September and he was named Leo for me. So he was an extra special cat. He went to bed, didn't wake up. Having him was helping me try and deal with everything. And I've cried every day since. He was my whole life. I don't have my own family. He was mine. And someone else says, I lost my tiny 2 years ago last Monday. She was my north, my south, my east, my west. So it is a huge grief. Professor Philip Hyland from Maynooth's Department of Psychology is on the line. Good afternoon to you, Philip.
Hey Anna, how's it going?
Hi. Can I get your? There's a study done that tells us that grieving the death of a pet can be as distressing as grieving a person. Have you come across this before, Philip?
I have. I did that study.
Oh, it's yours. We should really credit you, so.
That's okay. Yeah. I did that study. I published it this year. Really just, I work in the area of grief and trauma. And, you know, I was annoyed by the fact that our diagnostic manuals don't allow for a diagnosis of grief to be made following the death of a pet, despite the fact that we know and we can hear these stories from Alison and Claude of how impactful the loss of a pet could be. So, yeah, I just wanted to go out and check and say, well, let's ask people who've lost a pet. Let's ask people who've lost different loved ones, you know, a partner, a spouse, a parent, and let's assess their grief in response to these kind of losses. And what you find is that just as many people develop prolonged grief disorder after the loss of a pet as they do a close friend or a sibling or a partner or anything like that. So, yeah, you know, it certainly looks like people can develop just as extreme reactions to the loss of a pet as a person.
And if any listeners are going through that grief after losing a pet, that you just mentioned PGT, so prolonged grief disorder, a disorder that can cause symptoms including intense emotional pain following the death of a pet.
That's right. Yeah. So I guess the core symptoms of prolonged grief are this intense yearning and longing for the person or the animal that you've lost. You know, constantly thinking and being preoccupied with the person or pet that you've lost. And then all of these associated emotional disturbances. But I guess the big thing that defines it as a disorder is that those painful experiences start interrupting a person's life. So a person struggles, really finds it difficult to get on with their life after their loss. And, you know, it tends to affect about 10% of the population. So most people who experience a bereavement, they adjust to it. I mean, it's painful, it's difficult, but within about 6 months or a year, they generally adjust to the loss and are kind of back living their lives. But yeah, for a small proportion of people, they find it very difficult to get back to a normal life.
And that might be comforting for people to hear who've really been hit hard, or, you know, their days afterwards or weeks, months, years are badly affected after the loss of a pet. Someone else says, "Hi, Anna, I got Henry, my Jack Russell Terrier, 15 years ago this September. He was only 5 weeks when I got him. He's gone so grey and I can see he's getting older. He's my best friend and came into my life when I was in a very dark place. I'm dreading the day I have to say goodbye. But right now, he's still running around, jumping and barking. To everyone out there, a dog is your friend some of your life, but you're their best friend all their life." How do you feel hearing that, Alison?
Well, yeah, and everything that's being said right now is, it's actually like lovely to hear, and it's comforting. And I mean, I had a loss, two losses, massive losses early in my life in my parents. And I also lost pets along the way. I had cats a little bit later on in life. But Betty was just a different kind of loss and all consuming. And I do think it's really important not to judge people if they're going through it. And I mean, I would have been like Claude as well. After losing my parents, I would have judged everybody for any losses that I deemed lesser than. But it isn't, that's inaccurate, and that's not true, and it's not kind. So I think you just have to be aware of that with other people losing animals.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a 16-year-old lab cross, an absolutely fantastic gentle dog who's been the centre of our family for this length of time. He's very ill now, has organ failure, suspected throat cancer. I can't bring myself to put him asleep. My heart is broken over this. How do I cope with it? I know it's selfish, but I can't say goodbye to him. Gosh, these texts are so sad. Someone else says, "I met a woman when I was out walking my dog. She had a beautiful greyhound. We stopped and chatted. She told me her beautiful dog was going to be put asleep in a few days. I was heartbroken for her. I thought of that dog every day. She has such a gorgeous, kind face. I cried for a dog I only met for a few minutes." Clodagh, are you listening to those texts?
Oh, I actually can feel.
I'm going to make everyone cry.
I know. I went for a walk last week in the woods close to my house. I started to cry seeing all the dogs with their lovely owners because it made me miss Milo so much. So, yeah, it's so hard.
It really is, isn't it? And they're just such poignant stories, I suppose. There's so many of them. I can agree with the dog being your soulmate. My mum had a dog who followed her everywhere, and her loss was felt so keenly by all the family. When mum died, we put a photo of the dog in the coffin with her, and they were reunited. We had other dogs, but they never touched our lives like she did. Alison, you have a new family dog now. Tell us about Mabel.
Yes, I have Mabel. I like old-fashioned names, apparently.
You do. And your daughter is it Joan?
Joan, yeah. So, yeah, Mabel's a very different dog. And to be completely honest, it took me a while to have my click day with her. And I don't want to think that I rushed into it because she has added so much to our lives and she's gotten me moving again. And just what Coda was saying there as well, I miss the community of people that also had dogs that I would meet every day, socially. So she's fantastic. She was only 5 months old when we got her. So thankfully she didn't have the trauma built into her system that, you know, Betty did. We had to go through a lot of firsts with her, like as in, you know, toilet training and just lead training and all that kind of stuff. But she's extremely intelligent. She's really loyal. And she's really loving and she's just growing into a beautiful little animal. And I really do adore her. I absolutely do.
Yeah, of course you do. And you've been so honest about the journey. And Alison, so many people will relate to it as well. They really will.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you can see, like, we are a nation of dog lovers.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyone I've spoken to, Mabel is quite similar to Betty. So I think sometimes when I bump into people who haven't seen me since Betty passed, I'll tell them about Betty. And they just, everyone's on the verge of tears just because, you know, they've experienced a similar loss, or like some of your texters right now are forecasting that loss and how hard it will be at the time when it happens.
Yeah, of course. Philip, can I get the last word from you in terms of people's reactions to the loss of a pet? Is there a right thing to say or do, or just be more understanding, maybe, even if it doesn't, if it's a foreign concept to you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think there's a right way to respond to anybody who's lost a loved one, whether that's a person or a pet. I think you just try to be kind and caring and compassionate to them. And yeah, hopefully discussions like this just help raise awareness to the fact that many people who've lost a pet are really, really struggling. And yeah, hopefully it just builds compassion towards those
compassion
people.
Compassion and a little bit of empathy maybe as well.
Exactly.
That was Professor Philip Hyland from Maynooth's Department of Psychology. Thank you very much, Philip, for your insights there. Clodagh Campbell as well, the wellness psychologist and Today FM presenter, and a familiar voice to you all, Alison Curtis. Thank you all for sharing your experiences and your heartfelt stories. One quick text from a taxi driver, which is making me laugh and cry all at once. Please stop reading. Please stop reading texts regarding dogs. I'm a taxi driver in town and now I'm crying while a customer is on board. We'll wrap it up there.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.